Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. It is Wednesday, 5 o'clock, which means Caroline joins us as always. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. Joe is with us. Joe scolded me this afternoon before I came on the air, saying that, you know, it's okay for me to read The Athletic, but you do not want to read The Athletic columns on the air, Joe, because you don't want people to get mad at you because The Athletic is behind a paywall.
Well, yeah, you seem to misunderstand what I was saying. I was just talking to Paul on my show, and then you start let's tell the listeners what happened. You sent me an F-bomb laden text.
Yep.
You say, well, I'll say whatever I want to about The Athletic. Yeah, I don't care what you say. I shouldn't, on the day a huge thing comes out, say everything that's behind a paywall. Does that not make sense to you?
So then wouldn't it also make sense? Wouldn't the reverse be true, that it would be good for you not to use your, like, say, on a Sunday after a Titans game, for you to not give your best takes in The Athletic column when you should be saving them for the morning show at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m.?
What?
So you're saying...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're saying you don't want to make your bosses mad by saying things that are behind a paywall on the air for free. Well, shouldn't you want to not make people here mad by already saying things that you're going to say again at 6 o'clock in the morning, but writing them in a column that comes out before?
No, those are two different mediums. One of them is free, one of them isn't. Our shows are on the or over the air, Jared. It's kind of a cool thing. Did you notice?
So the takes there, you don't have to protect, but the takes that are behind the paywall, you do.
Yeah, Jared, it's called paywall.
Okay. With that, it's time for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad, now on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Caroline, go. Oh, by the way, Jared versus Joe, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville.
So we're paywall shaming. I also heard that you were fat shaming earlier.
I was not fat shaming. In fact, I said this is not about, you know, aesthetics as much as it is about performance and football. But, you know, Treylon Burks, you saw the pictures, Caroline.
He's thick.
Ian says that maybe he had his wisdom teeth taken out.
I mean, if we're talking about his cheeks are so chubby that maybe he got his wisdom teeth taken out, like, that's where we're at. But speaking of that, Brian Callahan did not mention Treylon Burks by name in his 40-minute press conference today, but he did mention Mason Kinsey, who I learned today is in fact still in the Titans, which I did not know that before today. Jared, you go first. Is it a big deal or we shouldn't look too much into it?
It's absolutely a big deal. You know, I mean, like, when it comes to the receiver position, we all know what the Titans have, right? Ridley, Hopkins. Those are the two starters. You know, you don't even need to talk about them. Then after that, it's in some order, Burks, Westbrook, Akine, Phillips, and then, you know, Kinsey's kind of at the bottom of the roster there. Kyaris Jackson, you know, probably down at the bottom of the roster there. I'm sure there's some guys like Treshawn Harrison that they've signed to futures contracts, and maybe they'll sign some other guys too, you know, to come in and compete at the end. But the receiver room right now of guys that, you know, are NFL players are Hopkins, Ridley, Burks, NWI, Kinsey, and Phillips. And the one guy he didn't mention was Burks. And that means one of two things. Either he didn't mention Burks because he wants to send the message that he doesn't care about Burks. Like, oh yeah, I'm talking about these guys, and I obviously don't care enough about Burks to talk about him over here, so I'm sending the message that I don't care about Burks, and I want Burks to get that message, and I want that to motivate him to get his butt in shape or to do whatever it is Brian Callahan's asking of him. Or Brian Callahan doesn't care about Treylon Burks. Just like, oh yeah, whatever, he's over there somewhere, you know, whatever. And that's probably worse, but also just as bad. So, yeah, I think that Brian Callahan's a smart guy. And Brian Callahan, I think, has, you know, a great recall. You know, when I sat down with him after he got hired, we're talking about specific plays and specific games, and he can go right to that. I think he's a very, very, I think he's a very good in terms of, you know, a coach of explaining things to people. He's very media savvy. it's not an accident that he left Burks out there. I think that's very much a red flag.
I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of big deal. I don't know that Treylon Burks is a big deal anyway. So
is Mason Kinsey?
Wait, what's that?
Is Mason Kinsey a big deal? Because he mentioned him.
No, not at all. No, but the point being, I don't disagree with what Jared said, that he may have intentionally left him out or whatever. I know it was a question about slot, so some people are like, well, Treylon Burks is outside receiver, but he needs to, he should be in the mix wherever he could possibly get on the field. I'm just saying, Treylon Burks to me is not a total afterthought, but we've talked about, I think he's kind of gravy at this point. It's like, I mean, if he can get his stuff together and he can carve out a role and this system can work for him, good for him. But I think the Titans have to proceed. They've got Ridley, they got Hopkins, and I think there's a real chance that they draft prominently another player at that position. I mean, the fact that that's even possible kind of tells you that Treylon Burks is already an afterthought, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's telling me that you don't care about Burks the way that I'm thinking Callahan doesn't care about Burks, which is how I approached free agency in the offseason of, when we're talking about, who can start it? Can Brunskill be a right guard? I mean, I guess he can be. Yeah, okay, pencil him in at right guard. That's fine. I never at one point considered Burks a starting receiver this offseason. I never was like, well, if they don't go sign a receiver, if they don't draft a receiver, it's okay because they have Burks. That was never an option. Just like bringing Aaron Brewer back was never an option for me. That was never an option to consider him a starter. But to Caroline's point, I mean, we're talking about Mason Kinsey's getting the shout out. And the question wasn't about the slot. The question was about adding it wide receiver. And then he started talking about the slot and then talked about those guys. But if Burks isn't going to play the slot, then Burks isn't going to play. Because Hopkins is going to play outside and Ridley is going to play outside. So if Burks isn't playing in the slot, Burks is not on the field. And if Burks isn't on the field, then he's not going to be active on game day because he doesn't play special teams. So to your point, yeah, I mean, it sounds like they've given up on Treylon Burks.
Well, again, I don't know about giving up, but I just think that it's, I mean, like Nick Colts today, said some, he's working hard, but also he's got to earn it. I mean, they're already in that mindset of show us, So I don't know that giving up, but just sort of going in with the idea of we'll see, but he's got to prove something to us. Now, you may be right on his answer. He definitely was asked specifically about slot today. So just to make sure that's accurate, he was asked about slot at some point, and that's when I thought he said Kinsey's name. But regardless. Yeah, I mean, Treylon Burks is great bonus if he works out. I mean, I think we agree on that.
Okay? Are we ready to say bust?
I mean, you love saying – you say bust 5 seconds after someone's drafted, so I know you're ready. I mean, yeah, look, first-round pick on the trade for A.J. Brown, yeah, it's until further notice, sure.
I'm ready to say bust. And the $50 million to Ridley is kind of what, puts the stamp on that. Where it's like, we got to pay a guy $50 million because we don't believe in you. Bust. Caroline, what's next?
All right, Joe, you go first. You are the general manager of the Titans. The Chargers select Joe Alt with the 5th overall pick. What do you do?
Well, if that were to happen, I'd love to move back in the draft because if I take a tackle based on all the information that I have right now, if I take a tackle there, I am reaching at 7, taking a tackle. Now, if that happens, that probably means, and you're not giving me all the information, so I can make some assumptions or not, but if that happens in tandem with the 4 quarterback scenario, then I'm getting one of those primo receivers. And that's going to be my, if I'm sticking at 7, that's what I'm doing. But I am trying, hoping someone wants to move into 7, and so I can move back, still get one of those tackles, get another pick, and go from there. Sticking at 7, I mean, I guess even if it's not – okay, let me do the math here. So sticking at 7, Alt's gone. Yeah, I mean, I should be good getting one of those receivers, so that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, if they go off the board right there with Joe Alt at 5, the first thing I'm doing is I'm – and see, this is where it gets a little complicated because J.J. McCarthy may not be off the board in this scenario, and in this scenario, maybe he is. So let's kind of take it down the two paths. Let's say McCarthy is off the board at this point, which means McCarthy is gone, Marvin Harrison is gone, and Ault is gone, because Marvin Harrison will go at six to the Giants. At that point, I know everybody talks about the big three receivers. I really think it's the big two. And then Odunze is after those guys, and then there's everybody else after Odunze. I call the Atlanta Falcons, who have the eighth pick. And I tell the Atlanta Falcons, I am drafting Malik Nabers at seven. And if you do not trade up to get Malik Nabers, and their second wide receiver is Rondale Moore, if you do not trade up to seven, you can draft Odunze, but you're not getting Malik Nabers. My gut is Atlanta probably deals you next year's second or a third this year, you know, something like that, in order to make that one spot move. But the targeted pick for me at this point is Olu Fashanu. Because the more I hear people not talking about Olu Fashanu, and it's just like he's kind of falling a little bit in these mock drafts, the more I'm thinking teams like the Saints or teams like the Jets at 10 are sitting there saying, hey, we may not be able to get Ault, but we might be able to get Olu Fashanu. And I've heard Trevor talk about it enough. I've heard Rick Spielman talk about it enough. I am convinced there are two left tackles in this draft that project as high-end left tackles, and Fashanu's the second one, and I want to make sure I get one of them. So if I'm at seven, Ault's off the board, and you know McCarthy's off the board, I'm offering the Atlanta Falcons the seventh pick for Nabers, and then I'm going to eight and probably taking Fashanu so that the Jets still don't get ahead of me to take the tackle. If McCarthy is on the board, I am picking up the phone, calling Minnesota, Denver, and the Raiders at 11, 12, 13, and I'm saying, make me your best offer for J.J. McCarthy right now. Somebody of those three is going to make a decent enough offer. I'll move back, and at that point, I may not be able to get either left tackle because the Jets might take Fashanu, but then I've got added picks for later in the draft, and I can take J.C. Latham or Talis Fuaga to be my right tackle because the Titans don't have one of those either. And then maybe wait a little bit for Amarius Mims in the first round or something like that. If I get Minnesota's second first rounder, you know, and I can get a left tackle with that pick as well. But that would be my plan, is if McCarthy's on the board, I'm calling the three teams that need quarterbacks and say, give me your best offer. If McCarthy is off the board, I'm moving with Atlanta, picking up a pick, and still going with Fashanu.
Well, as usual, the number of words blurted is just an absolute landslide in Jared's favor.
Well, I mean, again, there's two separate scenarios here, right?
Yes, Jared.
Well, there's the if J.J. McCarthy's on the board,
I like your plans,
that's a
Jared.
Different
I like your
scenario than it is if J.J. McCarthy's not on the board. My guess is your retort really means, wow, that's a really well thought out plan, Jared, and I have nothing to say.
I like your plan. No,
so I'm just going to crap on it because I don't have anything mean to say, so let me come up with something myself. Put that behind a paywall, Joe. More Jared versus Joe.
I'm not crapping on anything.
More Jared versus Joe continues next.
Yay, Jared. Yay.
Did we lose Joe? Oh, I guess Ian did that. Okay, Tennessee Men's Clinic, fellas. You've put this off for way too long, and it's time to get it done and move forward with your sex life, and the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. The reality is that pills often quit working, and guys start making excuses for not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? And yes, I know many of you hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. For a decade, the urologists and providers at the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED and weight loss, and they now even offer aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures. Their ED and weight loss treatments truly change lives with no surgery, and they are seeing success rates as high as 90%. They specialize in seeing guys who think they're out of luck regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond. They even offer same day or next day appointments. Give them a call, 208-9090. That's 615-208-9090, 615-208-9090, or go to TennesseeMen'sClinic.com to book an appointment today. That's TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
Jerry Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad. Now on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, Caroline.
All right, Jared, you go first. You get to pick. In a fantasy land in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you get to hand select who you get to play in the playoffs. Dallas or Vancouver? Who are you picking?
I will take Dallas. And I will take Dallas for a couple of reasons. Number one, I believe that the Vancouver Canucks have the best player, the best overall big boy forward of both teams, and that is Elias Pettersson. And I am scared to death of big boy forwards because I've seen what Sidney Crosby has done to the Predators in playoff series before. I have seen what Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane have done to the Predators in playoff series before. And I have seen, even though he was a defenseman, he was basically a forward the way that Brent Burns played in that San Jose series years ago. I mean, just freaking dominated the whole time. So, the second reason that I would go with Dallas is because of the travel. And I remember in 2016, there was a lot of complaining about the back and forth between Anaheim and San Jose and that it caught up with the team. And I think that would be something I'd be worried about too. The third reason is the Predators lose to Edmonton every time they play them. And they lose like 5-1 every time they play them. You end up in that side of the bracket, you may play Edmonton in the second round. And I know you may end up playing Colorado in the second round too, but I have more faith in you beating Colorado, who you beat 5-1 at home last month, and you went toe-to-toe with until the McDonough hit and everything else afterwards. I would say Dallas, and then the most important reason. Dallas will be looking ahead to Colorado, and Dallas thinks that they own you because they beat you 9-2, and you will have carried that butt-spanking with you into the Dallas series, and we saw how they reacted to the butt-spanking in Lifetime with the run, and I think that that'll be brought up a lot in the week preceding the series. Give me the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, the worst thing you said there is this idea of they'll be looking ahead. That's just goofy as hell. That's not a reality thing.
Why not? Do you think that the 2018 Predators were looking ahead to the Winnipeg Jets in that Colorado series?
No, I think that they played the series. I mean, No one looks ahead.
They played like absolute dog crap in that Colorado series. It went 6 games when it should have been 4. They lost to the Hamburglar.
Yeah, they blew game 5. Believe me, I remember because I had
Pecorine
no
got pulled
going
in game 3.
Yeah, I understand, Jared. It's the playoffs. It was Nathan MacKinnon and Landeskog Rantanen as young players. And they showed what was coming in future years.
That team was so average at that point in time. The Predators were all set up for that dream matchup against the Jets.
I remember your commentary. The punch and Judy abs.
Punch and Judy abs.
Blah, blah, blah. I remember.
And you lost to the Hamburglar.
I understand that. That's a good reference. But, no, they were not looking ahead to Winnipeg. They got in a playoff series, and sometimes the underdog punches you, especially when they have talent like Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen, which they did. So, no one looks ahead. I'll take Vancouver, and I have switched on this. The travel thing, see, here's another thing, Jared. You're kind of revising that history, too. Everyone talked about the travel thing in 16 because they went to the max, right, in both series. They went Game 7 out to California, and they got smoked in Game 7 in San Jose, and so it was kind of like this excuse of, God, they were so exhausted at the end. I mean, the other teams had to travel back to Nashville, too. I don't care about that. I like the lack of big-time experience in the postseason that Vancouver has. And, look, Dallas is just playing out of their minds right now. And if your goalie is going to play like this for Dallas and Ottinger is playing great, they are a scary team. I mean, to go into Colorado like they just did and make a statement like that and say, yep, this division's ours, I just think Vancouver would be a better choice. So a couple weeks ago, I'm saying Dallas, and I agree with some of your points. I don't hate the fact that their last time they saw them was an embarrassment, and they have matched up pretty well with them in the regular season for the most part, but I'll pick Vancouver.
I can't get over the fact that you don't think the Predators overlook Colorado in 2018.
Dude, it's the playoffs. Why can't you understand that, like, the playoffs are difficult? They are super hard no matter who you're playing. Looking ahead.
So I remember the Predators got up 2-0 in that series.
If you have one game, like a football team, that's playing like a total patsy, you know, Auburn plays whoever they play before the Iron Bowl, that team looks ahead because everybody knows what's next. There's one game. You know what the outcome of the game right in front of you is. That's fine. You look ahead. You don't look ahead in a playoff series. Come on, man.
So I remember that playoff series against Colorado, the President's Trophy defending Western Conference champion Predators. And I remember in that playoff series, the Predators were up 2-0 after the first two games they won at Bridgestone Arena. And there was something that didn't sit right with me about really both games, but especially that Sunday that they played game two and they were up 2-0. And I remember coming on the air at 2 o'clock that day and saying, I don't feel very good about how they played. I think they need to play better. And I was expecting the phones to just be a bitch fest, right? I was expecting it to be like, Jared, you're such a hater. All you ever do is hate on the Predators. That's all you ever. And instead, every phone was like, I'm with you, man. They have not played well at the beginning. Something's wrong. Then they go their game three. Pecorine gets pulled. They end up winning game four by the skin of their tush against a team that barely made the playoffs, all with young players that still hadn't really blossomed yet. And they won that game by the skin of their tush. They come home to Bridgestone Arena, which was the whole point of the season, was to get home ice. They got home ice game five. Colorado, both goaltenders are hurt, so they have to start Andrew Hammond or whatever
he is. Do you seriously have to recap the entire series?
Because that team had no business being on the same ice as the Predators, and the series went six games, and the Predators did not play well in that series until game six because they were looking ahead to Winnipeg.
You know what one of my favorite things to do in this is, like, when TD texts me during the thing? He just texted me the laughing, crying emoji, looking ahead in a whole series. I mean, it really is so dumb when you think about it. Jared, if there's anything that was intangible that was part of that, and I would agree they didn't play their best, it's the pressure of being the favorite and having won the President's Trophy. Now, that
okay, then give me that, which experience. Dallas will have.
Okay. There you go. All you had to do was not say something stupid like they're looking ahead, and we could have.
They were not taking that Colorado team seriously, and it bit them in the butt because they were not playing good hockey, and they got into that Winnipeg series, and it was a disaster. And I will forever think that they overlooked them. I mean, I thought that they played Colorado the way we talked about them on the radio, and again, we called them the Punch and Judy Avs, which they were. Predators didn't even play well, and the Predators still won the series. Caroline, what's next?
All right, Coach Cal heading to Arkansas. Between Kentucky, Arkansas, and Cal, who wins? Joe, you go first.
Kentucky wins. Kentucky wins. If I have to pick one of the three, I'm going with Kentucky. Because, one, Kentucky got out of, you know, $33, $34 million, whatever the heck it was, to move on, and they need to move on. I agree with what Cal said. Like, if you want to boil down his weirdly, like, analog, fuzzy video that he put out yesterday, they do need a new voice. Sometimes it just gets stale. And when you have as many failures as he's had in recent years in the postseason, and the fan base is disillusioned, but then the fans are like, well, he does have another great recruiting class coming in. They needed a new start. And so to get – and now, I still want to see the hire. I think it's going to be Scott Drew, and then I feel really good about saying Kentucky wins because I think Scott Drew is an excellent coach. I think Kentucky.
You also thought Chris Mack was an excellent coach.
Okay, I never thought Chris Mack was the level of coach that I think Scott Drew is, a guy who has won a national championship. But if Kentucky fans are complaining about that, I think they're way off base. And to be able to kind of say goodbye, not have to do the dirty work, not have to pay the money, and be able to push that money over to Scott Drew, if it is him, or your new coach, and all the things that he needs. I think it's a win first for Kentucky. But look, I think it could be a win-win-win. I mean, we'll see. I think that Cal will still succeed at Arkansas. He'll win, but he's going to have to figure it out in March, or it's not that many years there where it'll be the same kind of complaints.
So I agree with Joe. I think Kentucky is the winner here. But the reason why I think Kentucky's the winner is because and I know that Kentucky has a lot of money, but the reason they didn't fire Cal was because of all the money that they were going to have to pay Cal. And I think there's a chance that Cal would have found a way to win just enough, you know, maybe make it to the Sweet 16 next year, the second round or something like that, that he would have stuck around. But I think the days of Calipari winning the national championship and competing for the national championship are over. And that's what Kentucky's about. And so even if this next hire is not a slam dunk, then it'll be just like Billy Gillespie, where it's 2 years and then they move on and they get somebody else, and then Kentucky will be back. To me, this was the end of Tubby Smith. And even though Billy Gillespie stunk, it was time to move on from Tubby when it was time to move on from Tubby. Tubby was a good coach there. And I think Cal was a lot like Tubby. The results are very, very similar. And the exits are very, very similar for Cal and Tubby to Minnesota. I think that Cal's going to be like Tubby at Minnesota, which is he's not going to win much. You know, he'll win fine, you know, make some tournaments or something like that. But the days of Calipari being a superstar coach at a superstar school are over. So I think Cal took a plea deal. You know, hey, here's a $40 million contract that gets you out of the $33 million you were going to be owed and the hot seat you were on, but you don't get to coach at the Blue Blood anymore. You don't get to be the coach. You don't get to set the news cycle every day by saying something. And I think there's a lot to be lost in that. I don't think Calipari is going to be as successful as Eric Musselman was at Arkansas. Eric Musselman's Elite Eights. And I don't think Cal, who can't beat St. Peter's in Oakland in a tournament and can't beat Vanderbilt and A&M in the SEC tournament, I don't think Cal has the fastball anymore. So I don't think that Arkansas, I think Arkansas wanted to make a splash because they were probably a little insecure after Musselman took a USC job that USC's coach just went to SMU. So I don't think Arkansas is going to win. I don't think Cal's going to win. I think it's Kentucky. And I'm not sure Scott Drew's a good fit for Kentucky because I don't think he has the personality to kind of deal with the circus that is UK. I think they would be better off going with Bruce Pearl. I don't think they will. But if Scott Drew's not the guy, I mean, I think Danny Hurley would be the best decision. And with not having to pay Cal, I don't see why they can't offer Danny Hurley so much money that he can't say no. But I do think that Kentucky, by not having to pay Calipari, and by Calipari being the one that has, you know, started this break, I think Kentucky is in a great spot because if they'd had to fire Calipari after next year, then they'd be trying to fire a coach, but they'd also have the money that they'd have to pay Cal. They don't have any of that money now. And I think Kentucky, you know, we're going to see, you know, if Kentucky yields the stick that I think they yield. But I do think that this is a good move for Kentucky, not a good move for Arkansas, not a good move for Cal. Caroline, who wins?
It's so Kentucky. Like, Kentucky is 100% the winner.
They got a get out of jail free card is what they got.
They really did. It was honestly probably they were like, oh, you mean like you're going to just leave and we don't have to pay you a dime? Cool. All right.
Matt Jones
said today, travels.
Matt Jones said today that on Monday, Calipari got cold feet and that some Kentucky executives or whatever came over to, and I don't know if this is like university personnel or boosters or whatever, but they came over to his house and Cal was trying to decide what he was going to do. And that the Kentucky people were like, go, just go.
No. Go ahead. Like, don't let us hold you back. I'm with you, Jared, that I do think that this Callahan thing is a big deal. Like, I do think that it's not nothing. I don't think that he went in there intentionally saying like, ooh, this is what I'm going to do. So everybody thinks, you know, this is how I feel about Treylon Burks, but I do think that it was probably a subliminal message of like, look, like, I don't know how much Treylon Burks is in our plans here, but I do think that your comment about the paywall is so absurd that Joe has to win.
I just think it's Thank ridiculous you. That Joe can use his best takes on his paywall Dude, on a Sunday night and not save
so
them for 6 a.m.
Oh,
in the morning.
Oh, you're so full of it.
Can't but, save Jared, but we can't read a paywall article on the air because
you read whatever you want. I just said read whatever you want. Jared,
do you think your bosses will really get mad at you if you read Dane Brugler's stuff? Because all that's doing is it's bringing attention to Dane Brugler's draft guide that then people have to pay for in order to read the whole thing.
I just know that if I have something new on a particular day, on that day, I'd rather like not the whole thing not be given away. That's just me. So that's how I go about it. And as far as in a given week, Jared, 98% of the takes that spew from either my mouth or my computer are on our station. I mean, get out of here with this save your takes I mean, I come Monday morning, so if I write a column of a game Sunday, I'm there 6 a.m. Monday before most people have even had a chance to read it, and I'm saying the same stuff. Get out of here.
You know what Joe's really admitting
saying
that 90% of the things? Joe's explaining that it's actually harder to do radio than it is to be a columnist. Just telling you, kids. Great
it's
stuff.
It's definitely got to be hard to be you and bloviate for 4 straight hours. I will give you that.
Somehow I keep on trucking. I don't know how I do it, but maybe it's just my, you know, ability to do nothing but gossip. Great stuff, guys.
Bat jam.
Good one.
Yeah. Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville here on our program. 615-737-1025. If you guys want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Cal is trying to set the narrative. We got to play this next, and we will. Stillman and Company, and of course, we'll get right to your phones. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game.
We talked Friday. There was some stuff Saturday and Sunday back and forth. We didn't talk contract more than 15 minutes total, maybe less, 10 minutes. Here's what, okay, that's fine, let's do. But I refuse to do anything Sunday or Monday because of the national championship game.
Yeah, I think that says a lot.
That is those players, those coaches, those schools, they deserved it. And then when it leaked out, but you notice neither one of us said one word.
That was John Calipari, and he's, I guess that was on Hogs Plus. I don't know what that is, but it's on Hogs Plus. I'm guessing that's kind of like the media site for Arkansas. And his press conference is going to be at 6 o'clock. And let me say this, that's the beginning of the John Calipari spin cycle. So on Monday, Calipari was walking his dog, and he said, oh, I have nothing to say. I don't know. I this, I that. And yet Matt Jones said that, no, no, no. Calipari called Kentucky on Monday and was like, I might be having cold feet. And Kentucky said, no, 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 go. Just go. Just get out of here. Just go. Calipari's press conference, which will be again at the top of the hour, I think it is going to be filled with so many half-truths and bold-faced lies that it will make your head spin. I mean, I can't even wait for this. And I don't care about Calipari anymore as far as, you know, when I was at Louisville and I was on the radio in Louisville, like, Calipari was the story. I mean, that was the peak of his powers. That was Anthony Davis and Carl Anthony Towns and all those great players and great teams. But the reality is John Calipari won't say this, but I will. Cal took this job because he's scared. Cal took this job because he's scared that he doesn't have the fastball anymore, that he doesn't have the answers anymore, and that he can't ringlead the circus that is Kentucky basketball. And because of that, Calipari was approached by Arkansas about potential candidates for the job and decided, you know what about me? And they said, what about you? Yeah, what about me? After Jerome Tang had turned down Arkansas. And I always like confidence in a guy. I also like self-awareness. I'll give Calipari credit. The next year of his life, unless they won the national title at Kentucky, was going to be a living hell. And even if they won the national title at Kentucky, it may not have ever permanently sealed the bridge between him and the fans. This is the right thing. It's just now I can't wait until Cal's press conference, because I guarantee you Calipari's going to tell you all these different things about, oh, Arkansas, you know, I love it here because the NIL is so much better than at UK. Yes, at UK, where he pushed out the boosters who in turn got mad and focused on football. UK, where he said, we're a basketball school, and got into it with the athletic director who held a press conference and said, I'll walk with you whenever, but if you don't want to be here, just go. This is a doing of his own. And I can't wait until Calipari gets up there and tells us about how it wasn't a doing of his own. About how, oh no, it's the Nolan Richardson 40 minutes of hell history. It has me glued to wanting to be back here. We know that's not true. By the way, as far as Kentucky's concerned, I think Joe's right. I think they're going to hire Scott Drew. They're not going to get Billy Donovan. They're not going to get Danny Hurley. I think they're going to hire Scott Drew, and I think that's going to be a disaster. Because Scott Drew, and I think Scott Drew's a good coach. I mean, he's a great coach, obviously. But, like, I got to know Bryce a little bit when he was the head coach at Vanderbilt. And I know that Bryce is not Scott, but Bryce is a good coach. And I know the Bennies that covered Vanderbilt will tell you about how terrible Bryce Drew was. And everybody will say, oh, Bryce Drew's horrible. But Bryce Drew's winning at Grand Canyon, so Vanderbilt hasn't won anything since he's left. So you see what I'm saying? Scott Drew is a great coach for a place like Baylor, where you'll be respected, you'll be paid, fans will show up, but they're not going to stalk you every hour of every day. Kentucky's not that way. Kentucky's the Yankees. Kentucky's the Lakers. It's the Cowboys. It's Alabama football. I noticed that when Louisville went hiring their basketball coach, Josh Hurd, the athletic director, is a really smart guy. He was talking about how if you're the Louisville basketball coach, every second of every day, somebody is thinking about you. You don't get that when you're Dusty May at FAU. And no matter how much Scott Drew wins, and he's, you know, clearly the best thing to ever happen to Baylor basketball after the scandal that Dave Bliss put them through, he doesn't have somebody thinking about him every second of every day at Baylor. The guy who I think really can feed off the circus is Bruce Pearl. That's the guy who I think Kentucky, they're not going to do it, but that's the guy Kentucky needs. But I bet by this time tomorrow, Scott Drew will be the head coach at Kentucky. Danny Hurley, by the way, would be the slam dunk, but just seems like it's far-fetched for whatever reason that might be. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Barry Trotz, yesterday on our program, had a thought about a potential playoff series. We'll get to that coming up next as the Predators have clinched a playoff spot. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 the game. Let's give away some Burt Kreischer tickets. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you will be seeing Burt Kreischer at the F&M Bank at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. Good luck on that, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 the game.
No matter who you play, it's going to be a really good series, I would hope, because of the fact that they're good teams, and I think we're a good team. And I think you're going to have to look at them all differently, but I know if you go up to Canada, there's more travel, all that. There's probably more pressure on the Canucks to win because of the Canadian market and Vancouver just as a market itself.
If you want me to ramp up the pressure, I'll ramp up the pressure. Right. I have a problem with that.
No, I think both fan bases will ramp up the pressure. I just know in Canada, it's 24/7 Vancouver Canucks. We're down south here, there's... You know, you got baseball, you got different
things. We got left
happening.
Tackles we got to, you know, argue about and whatnot. That was yesterday. Ian, by the way, I take offense to Barry Trotz saying that we're not too hard on the Predators down here.
Well, I wouldn't take offense to it too much. I mean, this Canadian teams and the pressure to win the cup up there is just a little bit over the top.
Agreed. This is not Montreal. We talk about it all the time. This is the meanest show, I think, out there, and this is nothing compared to Philadelphia or Boston or, you know, the big cities. Ian, we got some news.
Okay.
That I want to share with the folks. Saturday night, the Predators will have that fan appreciation night. It's the last home game. They're playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. Ian, I believe you will be at the game on Saturday.
That is correct.
Will I be seeing you at the festivities that we will be a part of Saturday?
Hopefully. I'm actually going, plan to go with a buddy already. So working on a couple other friends going. So hopefully I'll see you guys around there. Yeah.
Okay, I will be on the dunk tank on the Bridgestone Arena Plaza at 5 o'clock on Saturday night.
Okay, well then I'll try and make a point to stop by there.
If you want to bring the fastball and you want to put me in the dunk tank, 5 o'clock on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena on the plaza, I don't know any other details. I don't know if this is for the fun of it. I don't know if it's for charity. I don't know what it is. But I know for 30 minutes, I'll be sitting my tush up there, and you guys will be trying to hit the dunk tank. So who thinks they have it? If you really, really want to exercise some demons, Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena, you will have your chance. As, again, the Predators play out the string Friday, Saturday, and Monday, because the point we are right now, I got one thing to say, Ian.
Let's hear it.
Get me to the playoffs, baby. They're in. Ryan McDonough, Luke Shin, Smashville Live from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue comes your way next. Stillman and Company will see everybody tomorrow at 2 and on that Bridgestone Arena Plaza at the Dunk Tank on Saturday at 5.